Hi everyone, Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. Thanks for being here. All right, another short Gosho. This one titled, On Recommending This Teaching to Your Lord and Avoiding the Offense of Complicity in Slander. So this was written to Shijo Kingo, Simon Nojo, a very important disciple, student of Nichiren's, a very ardent supporter of Nichiren, but also a samurai who lives by the sword, and who is, after all, a warrior who murders at the behest of his employer, his landowner, his lord. So it's not a unique situation at the time in 13th century Japan, run by a shogunate and just samurai as a form of governance. But certainly in light of Buddhism, not an ideal situation. This is a short Gosho, as I said, but it's an opportunity for Nichiren to teach yet another facet, another another aspect of the influence we have, and that is around us all the time in samsara. In our human existence, we cannot escape that we are part of a large social organism. I say organism because, we tend to think in modern times of ourselves as autonomous, independent beings, even if we're members or part of or associate with actual groups. From the PTA to political groups, ideological groups, churches. There's all sorts of ways that we are grouped. Even your Amazon.com membership makes you one of a group, right? And we also have a concept in the West. At least I thought of it sooner this time. Sorry about that microphone thing. We have a concept in the West of guilt by association, if you will. All of these things are about the way we inter-influence one another. One could argue, though, that the influence of your employer, with varying degrees, there are different types of jobs, but certainly when you have to answer to somebody, that hierarchical authoritarian structure, your actions, although we, get accustomed to certain behaviors, dress codes, so on and so forth, based on that hierarchical cloud, if you will, or fog that's always around us, and we start to, you hear the term in modern days that you are where you work, you are your job. Your job is more your identity than anything else. It's kind of a frightening thing to consider, really. We resolve ourselves, though, in modern times to, yep, that's it. And we actually take pride in it at times. I'm a this, I'm a banker, I'm a real estate agent, I'm a plumber, I'm a, all of those, I'm a, again, that self-identity thing, is a very powerful reminder of the way we set up ourselves, our identities. There's a tremendous amount of observation of that in Buddhism. Because we slide in and out of these things And without really being conscious of what we're actually saying about the value of our lives, and both in the way they affect others and the way we're influenced to take on those mantles, right? So certainly, getting back to the Gosho, being a samurai is a very charismatic, charged identity, isn't it? The Bushido code, which is something the samurai followed, was basically you get up every morning knowing this is the day you're going to die. Not because you set out to find a situation where you would kill yourself or be killed, but because with that mindset, the idea was that if you were to be slaughtered in that particular day, you would minimize the sense of loss, and you would be prepared for it, whatever that means, so that on conversely, you would live every day with the preciousness of the moment of being alive, so that you would never be caught off guard, that if you were to die in this day, that you would be fully aware of the preciousness of your life, not caught sleeping, in other words. It's a very bizarre thing when you break it down this way. But as far as Buddhism goes, Buddhism works very, throughout all the teachings, very adamantly to bring us to the realization that each moment of life is the greatest opportunity, the greatest thing to experience, to be in, to savor. And so it's immensely contradictory to the idea that one's job is to be prepared for death and to reap or wreak death at the will of another. I can't imagine the internal pressures on a samurai to practice Nichiren Buddhism, or any Buddhism for that matter, but certainly in Nichiren's day. So for Nichiren, Shijo Kingo is a very important student, not only because of the support that he was getting from Shijo Kingo, but just ideologically, philosophically. Shijo Kingo was for Nichiren and other samurai, but in this case, Shijo Kingo, a microcosm of Japan, of the entire world in his day. The difficulty of ascribing to a philosophy that seems to contradict everything about ordinary, quote unquote, life. So again, we're confronted with this: how do you navigate your Buddhist practice with such strong influences around you? And more to the point in this Gosho, when you practice Buddhism and you find this value and you find this awakening of how amazing life is, and how this practice, you have such deep appreciation for this practice when that starts to gel in your mind that you want to tell people about it, right? Especially in our early practice, but throughout, we get very almost giddy about, you got to know that, you got to try this, it's amazing, right? So with that comes a slight note of caution from your leaders, your teachers, yourself as you practice. In our world situations, it's not always ideal to spread the teachings, right? It can be daunting. And so we ask ourselves the question, how should I do this? Who should I do this? When should I do this, right? Am I well-versed enough? Am I knowledgeable enough? Am I experienced enough to, the moment I open my mouth about this to someone, be able to be resilient against pushback or even just questions? What if somebody's really interested? What do I do then, right? So again, study builds confidence, builds understanding. And as you've heard many times, we spread, we teach, we share these teachings to the best of our abilities. We don't put, we have to work to not put pressure on ourselves to be the oracle, the know-all, right? We're gonna have questions that we can't answer. Simply life experience, not even directly Buddhism. But say that, that's why when we practice Shoju or even Shakyabuku, we do so through our own life experience. So we can use examples from our own lives. But if we try to extrapolate Buddhist understanding and teachings to someone else, we have to always remind ourselves that we all have our own path. We all have our own ways of understanding. What we're trying to encourage isn't just some idle repetition of some practice. What we're trying to encourage is somebody taking on the path to discover their own insights. That's the power of Buddhism. So with that in mind, what we do as we share Buddhism is unlike anything else. We don't just didactically say, do this, do that, this is how it works. You can't tell somebody how it works. You can only tell them to investigate for themselves how it works, because they're their own teacher, right? So when we share Buddhist practice, what we do is we offer. We offer and we suggest. And we indicate sources. And we allow others then, more like an invitation, not an authoritarian dissemination of information, rules, and guidelines. We guide those people, those others, toward their own path, because they're the only ones who can discover it. You can't show it to them. Now, knowing all of that, there's still a lot of charisma in telling your employer that they should, that they could. How do you impose your employer to get them to adopt a path of Buddhism? How much salesmanship should be involved in that? And how much confidence do you have to be able to suggest to your employer, who is authoritarian, how valuable this practice could be for them? Well, already just the way I said that is a little softer than what you might initially think, right? You have to remove the perception of arrogance, right? I mean, there's a difference between going to your boss and going, "Hi, boss, by the way, you should be Buddhist." Right? I mean, that might work in some instances. Absolutely. But probably not the most likely. You may start by just identifying yourself as Buddhist. "Did you know I'm Buddhist? It's a really amazing practice. If you're ever interested," that's the fine line, right? "If you're ever interested, I'd love to share some stuff with you." Anyway, back to work. Right? But that alone is extremely powerful. Some of you may have even felt butterflies just thinking about doing that. butterflies of nervousness, right? So that's a whole subject, another video and so forth, but it's touched on in this Gosho, and it's something that's repeated throughout Buddhism in many, many ways, but it's all about this influence thing and complicity. Complicity is the key word here. Complicity is our motivation to take that chance. It's our bodhisattva practice. Complicity. Complicity in Buddhism isn't just an individual that you associate with. Complicity in Buddhism is your entire social structure. Because even if you don't know everyone in it, you are influenced by it. That's a much larger idea, isn't it? And this is why bodhisattva practice is key. Because it is very simply the realization that you are not a singular organism. You are part of a much larger organism. And so what you do and how you interact with that organism of which you are a part is exceedingly important. But it doesn't come without challenges. That's samsara. So let's read this Gosho now with all of those things in mind and see if certain things don't become clearer, specifically with this situation. So Nichiren begins, I have received the 2,000 coins. Right off the bat, we know Shijo Kingo is a pretty important supporter. The foremost treasure of sentient beings is none other than life itself. So this is what you hear me saying all the time, the preciousness of life, right? To say this as the opening statement to a samurai warrior, just keep in mind that this is where this dialogue takes place. It's not a dialogue, it's a letter, but you understand. He goes on, those who take life are certain to fall into the three evil paths. Take life, in other words, murder. That is why the wheel-turning kings observed the precept of, quote, not to kill, as the first of the 10 good precepts, and why the Buddha taught the 5 precepts at the beginning of the Hinayana Sutras and made, quote, not to kill, end quote, the first of them. The Buddha also taught not to kill as the first of the 10 major precepts of the Mahayana Brahmanet Sutra. The lifespan chapter, now we come to Myoho Rengeko, of the Lotus Sutra is the one that represents the merit of the Thus Come One Shakyamuni's practice of the precept not to kill. So this is a very profound precept or an accepted attitude, a life attitude of Buddhism. Accordingly, he continues, those who take a life will be abandoned by all the Buddhas of the three existences, and the gods of the 6 heavens of the world of desire will never protect them. The scholars of our time are aware of this, and I, Nichiren, have a general understanding of it. Nichiren's humility always astounds me. He goes on, the nature of killing varies, however. The offense of a person killed is either, of the person that's killed, is either heavy or light. So that's an interesting coloration on not to kill. It suggests that who or what you kill isn't always the same offense. What does he mean by that? If one kills the person who has murdered one's father or mother or sovereign or teacher, Although the offense remains the same, what would have been a grave offense probably becomes a light one instead. Probably. This is where I start wondering about these translations, but still, as read, what he's saying is murder is murder. But the residual mental, spiritual effect, psychological effect to the murderer varies. So understand it. Buddhism is always about the mental construct here. So if you get in an argument with somebody on the road and you get out of your cars and you take a tire iron to them and you kill them, there's a huge complex formula of your karma, your control of your anger, your did you feel threatened for your life, or are you just killing completely out of anger? Which worlds are you in? Are you in hell and animality, or are you in hunger and anger? So there's so many. Knowing in Buddhism that we traverse these worlds, these places from which our actions come constantly at rates we don't even can't be aware of. All of the causation that goes into the act of murder in that situation, those vary. But nonetheless, you're an aggressor and you acted and you killed and you took a life. That's the same. How you then live with it, and remember, we're part of a social organization. So, an organism. So how we're affected affects all of those around us. Even mostly indirectly, it's the nature of cause and effect. It's a life condition that we've now inculcated in our lives. If we murder somebody, we then incur this life condition that travels with us and colors everything in our lives. Even the way we chew food changes. That's the nature of cause and effect. It permeates everything. Doesn't mean we're conscious of it. Doesn't mean that now that when we chew our sandwich, we're murdering. But understand, I want you to understand the depth of influence in our actions. To the degree and the way that we're affected, the way that everything we then do in our lives is affected by that act depends in some margin on what motivated that act. The act is the same. The offense remains the same, he says. What would have been a grave offense probably, though, has different colors. If you watch somebody murder your parent, your loved one, and at that moment you found the motivation to somehow murder that murderer, maybe to stop them from murdering more of your household, others in your household, you, is it self-defense, quote unquote? It's still murder, but it may have a very different influence, right, in your life. So I'll go on. He says, this is something our contemporary scholars are acquainted with. But even bodhisattvas, with their great compassion, If they make offerings to the enemies of the Lotus Sutra, are certain to fall into the hell of incessant suffering. On the other hand, even those who commit the five cardinal sins, if they show animosity toward those enemies, will definitely be reborn in the human or heavenly world. So, it's interesting. He jumps from taking a life, a human life, to equating it with the offense of being for or against Myoho Renge Kyo. And you'll notice that Nichiren positions the ultimate teaching of Buddhism with life itself. It's at the level of observation that Buddhism looks at the nature of all phenomena, including human life, it is the study of life itself. So it's really, to us, it might seem abrupt, but to he and those like Shijo Kingo in his day wouldn't have seen a great leap there. They would have associated those two very intimately. In other words, excuse me, the taking of a life and the support for the teaching of life. Really looking at it that way. And certainly to a person, a warrior, samurai, slash monk, this would have been a daily association, a daily antagonism in the mind, right? So Nichiren goes there very, very quickly. So he's saying, you know, yeah, you're a samurai and you have to deal with murder constantly in your everyday life. And whether you murder or witness murder or do murder at the behest of your lord, these are various depths of karmic cause that you're making. They vary. They're all ultimately murder. But hey, look, we have teachers here in Japan who are actively working against Myoho Renge Kyo, working against the Lotus Sutra, working against Nichiren, working against this life-giving, life-understanding preciousness, and they're making no less a cause. They're making no less an influential decision when they choose to go against the ultimate teachings of Buddhism. They are like killing, taking life. Wow, that's a lot to chew on right there, isn't it? That's how important this practice is. Not to diminish murder, but to equate cause making, to equate influence with how important it is, truly life and death. That's an important lesson. Even if all you do, even if you're not, that's a complicated little aside he throws in here. Even those who commit the five cardinal sins, one of which is taking a life, if they show animosity toward those enemies, what enemies? The enemies of the Lotus Sutra. If they throw shade on the Zen practitioners, or the Amida Buddha practitioners, the Nembutsu, and so forth, and they discount them, show them disregard, and push back on them, they actually are making causes that influence the fact that they are purveyors of the five cardinal sins. Even though they murder, like samurai, if they show animosity to those enemies of the Lotus Sutra, knowing that they are such, see, it's all mental, then they alleviate some of that effect, some of the influence of those bad or terrible life unaffirming causes that they're making. So that's interesting. So in a way, he's giving Shijo Kingo hope. He's saying, Shijo Kingo, you're a samurai warrior. You murder for a living, but all is not lost. Yes, you've murdered. We acknowledge that. But how much more encouraging is it for Shijo Kingo to hear that simply throwing shade on these other teachers that would push you away from the Lotus Sutra, he's actually practicing Myoho Renge-kyo. He's supporting Nichiren's practice of Myoho Renge-kyo. How much more merit is he accruing to overcome the influence of the murder paradigm? This is very important. It's very encouraging to someone like Shijo Kingo, certainly, but to all of us, to know that no matter how profoundly deep we may feel about actions that we've done in the past, remorse is incredibly important here. But further than remorse, because that doesn't change the act, but how you live with it, how you experience it in your life condition. If you then, on top of that, are practicing the ultimate life-giving, precious teachings of Myoho Renge-kyo, Buddhism, whether you relate those two or not, your act of doing that, the merit that you accrue by chasing after your Buddhaness, can help clean the slate of your life condition influenced by such terrible acts in the past. It doesn't excuse your doing them now, don't misunderstand that, but it does greatly influence your life condition toward the better, toward better life condition by pursuing your Buddha wisdom. So that's quite interesting. It's a matter of mental commitment, how you live your life. King Senyo and King Possessor of Virtue, who had destroyed respectively 500 and countless enemies of the Lotus Sutra, became Shakyamuni Buddha in this world. So that's interesting. He drops Shakyamuni Buddha's name as a concept rather than an individual. His disciples, such as, now he is talking about Shakyamuni, his disciples, such as Mahakasyapa, Ananda, Shariputra, excuse me, Madgalayana, and other countless followers, were people who, at that time, were in the vanguard, defeating the enemy or killing them, injuring them, or rejoicing in the fight. Just like Shijo Kingo, right? The monk realization of virtue became Kashyapa Buddha. He was a votary of the Lotus Sutra of great compassion, who at the time urged King Possessor of Virtue to attack the enemies of the Sutra as if they were the ones who had betrayed his father and mother in a previous life. So that's interesting. Nichiren basically saying that if your fight as a samurai is to uphold the teachings of the Lotus Sutra, the nature of your, what did he call it before? Your offenses, although they remain the same, have very different effect on your life condition. There's a lot of, it's interesting, this is an aside, but a lot of people in the West think Buddhists are all pacifist. Don't eat meat, abhor conflict and war. All of that isn't untrue, but it's not solely true. Because Buddhism was founded by, Siddhartha was the prince of a warrior clan. The Shakyas were known for vast holdings of property, and the way you held property was through killing people. War. So this is where Buddhism comes from. So this is why the concepts of Shoju and Shakyabhuku are part of Buddhism. It's not simply a pacifist practice. It's pacifist when that suits the situation, but it's also staunchly guarded and will fight for itself. Righteously so, if to use Western terms. So it's not that it's based on war, but it won't shy away from it either. And that's not pacifist. Okay? He goes on, our present day corresponds to that time. If the ruler, because he was just talking about Shakyamuni's day, if the ruler of our country has accepted what Nichiren said, or had accepted it, he could very well have become like those two kings. Yet, in addition to rejecting it, he has actually sided with the enemies of the Lotus Sutra so that the entire nation attacks me. From the ruler on down to the common people, all have become slanderers of the law whose offense exceeds the five cardinal sins. So there it is again. This is important for Nichiren to talk to Shijo Kingo about because Shijo Kingo is in the midst of this governmental debacle. This samurai shogunate government that rules by fear and violence and murder. Shijo Kingo is in the midst of that. So what Nichiren is pointing out is that even in Shakyamuni's day, this was the situation. This is the samsaric situation. This is men wanting to be in power over others. This is avarice, greed, so on and so forth. That may be the drama of human life and civilization, but in light of the Lotus Sutra, in light of the teachings of the Lotus, the Myoho Rengekyo, how do the two coexist? And so, what Nichiren is pointing out is in his day, he just has come out of exile again. He says, when the leader, when I've remonstrated and I've written Rishon Kokuran and I've told the shogunate and the leaders how they need to take a more Buddhist infused wisdom light on the way they govern. Okay, you're a warring power, but this is not how you govern. This may be how you acquired your position to govern, but you must govern in a much different way with the wisdom inculcated from Buddhism. And that's not such a foreign thought, by the way, because they're already supporters of different sects of thinking and schools of Buddhism as well as other religions, if you will. Although I staunchly am of the mind that Buddhism isn't strictly a religion, but it can be so if it's misinterpreted and it can be used as a religion. Suffice it to say, though, that all of the ruling clans had some kind of philosophical component that they thought they were upholding. And this is the situation where a lot of these other sects would be led by people who, rather than being teachers like Nichiren, bodhisattvas like Nichiren, took on the mantle of being teachers in name only, and were also themselves looking for a form of power and influence and money in their position at the head of a school that they may have called Buddhism, but actually misused or misinterpreted or erroneously pushed teachings that may have come largely from Buddhism, but were interpreted in a way that gave them authoritarian power. And they could then bequeath that power onto a ruling clan, giving the ruling clan the aura of a religious or superior mental fortitude with which to claim the right to war. Do you follow? Not unlike today. How's that chant go? Christians, onward Christian soldier, right? It's ageless, right? We use some mythical belief system to justify murder, mayhem, and superiority. It's ageless. With the Lotus, though, starkly different in that it doesn't claim superiority over life. It claims complete and utter devotion to life as a guiding principle for everything else that we do. Hopefully you see the massive difference in that. So, how does this pertain to Shijo Kingo? Well, he's a servant of the ruler, and the ruler, if he tells Nichiren to blow it and further emboldens his enemies, the other schools at the time, the Nembutsu, the Zen, the True Word, and so on and so forth, and pushes him, wants to push him down the throat of the people so that they are obedient to the ruler, again, using it as a form of power, and further punishes Nichiren for opening his yap and tries to kill him or exiles him. Well, this is a cause that affects his organism, his society, because he's the ruler. So the way of the ruler is the way of the people, to varying degrees, but still, that's the cause. That's the overriding principle that the country lives by. And you, Shijo Kingo, by the way, do his bidding. So that's yikes, right? So he says it. He says, therefore, all of you are also on the side of the ruler. Look at your situation right now. Although at heart you are of the same mind as Nichiren, so he gives him credit, and again, Buddhism is mental, right? So you're the same mind as Nichiren. You do think life precious. You do practice Myoho Renge Kyo. You do tremendous support to me, Nichiren, and therefore the Lotus Sutra and the teachings of the Lotus Sutra. Since you are a person in service of your Lord, it would have been extremely difficult for you to have avoided the offense of complicity in slander. There's the word we're after, complicity. We have a situation today in our world where people have somehow been taught to shy away from confronting life unaffirming behavior, confrontation, and just stay away from it. You see somebody beating up on somebody or stealing something or doing something we know to be a bad call, wrong, negative, and we just shy away from it. Not my business. Shouldn't do anything. And that's a terrible overarching attitude that we now have in all our societies. And we have to get to a point of absolute desperation to finally stand up and say something. And oftentimes that's way too late, first of all. And secondly, by the time you do it, you're so full of emotion that it's now, I won't say ineffective, but it's not coming from a great place. So Nichiren continues, "How admirable it is that despite this, you communicated this teaching to your Lord and urged him to take resolute mind and conviction in it." Whoa! He actually went to his employer and said, "You need to do this. You really need to alter the way that you see, the way that you govern the people, your understanding of life itself. You really should practice Myoho Renge Kyo." Wow, that's shakabuku. That's in your face. That's pretty courageous of a samurai whose very life depends on his employer to suggest to his employer, "Look, I know what you're doing, how, and my responsibility to you, but really, you need to look at this whole picture anew." A lord, an employer who, by his position in the organism of society, has already supported the enemies, quote unquote, of the Lotus Sutra. He continues, "Even though he may fail to accept it now, you have managed to avoid the offense of complicity." So simply by taking the act of rebuking someone's views that do not accept Myoho Renge Kyo, he has shown his own Buddha nature, and by influence, his sphere of the organism of which he is a part, that Myoho Renge Kyo is preeminent. That what is happening now is wrong, that it must be corrected. That is so powerful. It may have gotten Shijo Kingo beheaded that very day. It's not that he didn't care about that. He just understood that the cause of redirecting the energies of the government, his employer, was far more important than the danger he posed to himself. It's quite something. So now Nichiren goes on with a little dose of reality. He commends him because now he's unglued his own actions, his own murderous employment with the deepest cause of murder by saying, "This is wrong. And further than this is wrong, there is a better way to govern. Even though this is my job, my attitude about it, my intent about it, is ever changed and should also change for you, my employer." But now, as you well know, what happens when you identify yourself as different? There are a lot of forces around you that won't like that. Not, they won't even understand why. They just automatically will say, "Different." And you'll be suspect, right? In varying degrees. So Nichiren, right away, knowing full well that this is a shogunate state, says, "From now on, you should be careful about what you say." It doesn't have to be about Myoho Renge Kyo. It doesn't have to be about Buddhism at all. Every word that comes out of your mouth is now going to be analyzed as with suspicion. What's he saying? What do you mean by that? What do you mean when you say hello? Are you telling me to be a Lotus Sutra Buddhist? Right? Right? That's human nature. On the other hand, surely the heavenly gods will protect you. I also will tell them to do so. Oh, so yeah, you should be careful what you say. There'll be a lot of suspicion around you now. But also, you're likely to be less reproached simply because of the nature of what you are reproaching. There is so much value in what you just did that even those who are suspicious of you will also be curious. maybe he's got a point there. And that's what we would say in these writings is the point of Buddhist gods, Buddhist protection, heavenly god protection. Those aren't actual gods. They're not actual deities. They are that aura. That aura. How do you name that aura around you that you have when you make certain causes? Some will want to detract from you. Others will. You're affecting your organism. Right? So he goes on here, last paragraph. It's time to finish this. He goes on, determined to take every possible precaution. You've made a great cause. Now it's time to understand how great that cause is. There's always consequence, right? Those who hate you will be increasingly vigilant in watching for a chance to do you harm because you just gave them a reason. Put a stop to all drinking parties at night. Interesting. Alcohol rears its ugly head. What dissatisfaction can there be in drinking sake alone with your wife? In other words, don't have these big ruckus parties where people get out of control. If you want to have a drink, stay at home with your wife and enjoy a drink. This is very moderate advice, right? Do not let down your guard when you attend banquets with others in the daytime. Your enemies will have no opportunity to attack you apart from your drinking. You cannot be too careful with deep respect for Nichiren. So, that's an interesting little aside lesson at the end there, isn't it? Drinking, drugs, anything that dulls the mind, produces in us humans a regression in the dignities of our life. So without dignity, we revert to our animal nature. And unfortunately, as human beings in samsara, our animal nature is usually violent. And if we have one overarching problem in the world today, it's violence. It turns its head everywhere. So the last thing you want to do is not only not encourage it, but you don't want to be, what was it Mr. Miyagi said in Karate Kid? Best way to avoid fight, no be there. This is what Nichiren is telling Shijo Kingo. Now that you've made this phenomenal cause, you will send ripples of the effect of your cause of shakabuku with your employer. Save that he doesn't kill you, save that he lets you, because he respects you, consider your opinion, even though he's not acting that way now, and he may not, never, as Nichiren said, he may not heed your advice. But the fact that you've done it, you will affect everything living in your environment because you are not an independent creature. You are part of a larger organism, a society, and you affect it by your actions. And they will now perceive you differently. Well, when human beings are at their base nature, they react to their own fears. And if their fears amount to you're a threat, they will come after you. If their fears amount to he may be a good teacher, he may teach me something deeper about my life, you become a positive influence. Those people may not come to you, but they will be alerted to something more profound. And they may eventually either practice Myoho Renge Kyo or at least endeavor to learn about it. All by that single act of Shijo Kingo. So, along with the praise and the admiration that Nichiren is giving Shijo Kingo for doing this, he's also being very real about understand you've shaken up the world around you, the society around you. No, you didn't talk to everyone individually and tell them this, but the very nature of the cause you've made has changed your aura, and that aura will spread to others, and they will react as they will react. So be cautious. That's an immensely important lesson in the way that we proceed in life in general, but certainly as Buddhist. Myoho Renge Kyo. Thank you so much for listening. We'll have a new Go show in the next video. I appreciate the opportunity you give me to help bolster your practice. This is how I bolster mine. Thank you for participating. Take care of your health, and I'll see you in the next one. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo.